Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the king size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Fowler. Fev, a gold this morning for Australia in the modern pentathlon. I am that excited to now say the gold medalist is on the line after just coming out of doping control, 24-year-old Chloe Esposito. Chloe, congratulations.
Woo! Hello.
Absolutely
Thank you
brilliant.
So much.
Tell us about your last 6 hours.
I've been so nervous, but it's just, and especially the past 2 hours, 3 hours, I just can't believe it. It still really hasn't sunk in. I'm just, I have to go here, I have to go there. It's just, I don't know what to say. It's amazing.
I listened to your press conference your interview after the race. So I got up early and I watched it, and you said that, you know, after going after London, you knew you had it in you, but you just hadn't put it all together. And what a day to put everything together.
I know. So since London, I've been like dedicated basically my whole life.
Well, you moved to Hungary.
So we've been in Budapest for 2 years, and just because there's a lot more competitions in Europe and pentathlon is really popular in Hungary, and the fencing's really strong, and fencing is one of my weaker events. So I thought, if I want to go to Rio, I want to go better than London, and I have to improve my fencing and also just get more competition in as well. So we moved to Budapest about 2 years ago, and I'm just so happy it's all paid off.
Chloe, take us through the event itself. Now, Fev and I have been reading up and watching, and I think Australia is almost, as always, trying to become instant experts in your sport. Come in to the pistol shooting / 3,200-metre cross-country, the last leg in seventh position. What happens then?
Okay, so I start in seventh. So the first three events, they get a total score, and whoever's on the highest point start first, and I started seventh, which was 45 seconds behind first place. And then so you run into the shooting range, and you have to get, it's a laser pistol, and the target's 10 metres away, and you have to get 5 shots in the black circle. It's a 7 ring. And once you get the 5 shots, you can run 800 metres, and you do that 4 times altogether. And yeah, whoever crosses the line first wins.
You didn't miss. You'd be good on a Jason Bourne movie.
I think I had one or two misses. I can't remember. But, yeah, no, I was really, really happy with my shooting.
Now, yeah, you got your family there, and I just heard you after the race also saying you're going to spend, you're just going to celebrate with the family. Your dad was in the 84 Olympics. Your sister was in the Youth Olympics. And your brother's yet to compete in this Olympics.
Yes, and my sister also went to the Commonwealth Games.
Wow.
In Glasgow for shooting, yeah. So it's sport sort of runs in the family, and, yeah, we'll be good to see how Max goes tomorrow as well. But, my brother and I wouldn't have known really about pentathlon in Australia if it wasn't for Dad. So
he must be super
proud.
That's
how we got into pentathlon.
He's
so proud.
How does it feel when you hear this term, Chloe Esposito Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah, it doesn't seem real. I can't believe it.
Go on the Wikipedia page. I've already updated it, so it's already up there on the net.
Oh, geez. That's quick.
You'll be able to Google it on your phone and go, look, that's me. I'm an Olympic gold medalist.
Well, no, it's very exciting.
And the medal ceremony itself, when the flag goes up and they play the Australian national anthem, it must have been just a wonderful moment for you, Chloe.
That was amazing. It was very emotional, and just hearing the national anthem and seeing the Australian flag go up, I just couldn't be more proud. It was just the best feeling ever.
Chloe, we are stoked for you. We appreciate you jumping on the line. We know you walked straight out of doping control and jumped on the line for us. We really, really appreciate it. Congratulations. Enjoy, celebrate. Everyone is just so stoked for you.
Yeah, enjoy the celebrations, and good luck to your brother.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with your brother tomorrow. Hopefully you can get a medal as well.
Thanks. I'll let him know. Thanks.
Chloe Esposito, still not really believing, I think, Fev, that she won the Olympic gold medal.
That's amazing. And the beauty of sport, she gets back to the village, she's got to do a doping control, she's got to sit there and wee into one of those little beakers and she's got a gold medal around her neck. She's like, yes. And then now with all us media, we all think we know everything about the decathlon, but we got no idea. And
possibly even the pentathlon, which is what she was in, brother.
The pentathlon.
Mark
well,
out.
I watched it.
Brendan Favola all over it on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. We're about to speak to Ian Thorpe, one of Australia's greatest Olympians, who's heavily involved with Optus. Optus celebrating fandom in all forms through its new six-part series. Check it out, In the Pool with Ian Thorpe. It's a wonderful way for Australians to share their team pride and unite in the love of sport and camaraderie. They've got a six-part series which launched yesterday. You can join the conversation with Ian, hashtag FanUpOz, or view it all in the pool with Ian Thorpe at optus.com.au/support network. And the great man is on the line now from Rio de Janeiro. G'day, Ian.
Hey, how are you, mate?
Well, great to speak to you, Ian. Firstly, this is a great arrangement with Optus. I saw a little bit of it yesterday. It's fantastic.
Yeah, look, we're having a lot of fun with this. We've been able to celebrate, I guess, some of our successful athletes around the Olympic team, but also some of the bigger personalities. And we've put them in the pool with me, and they share some insight into what the Olympic Games has been like. But also, it's been an opportunity for fans to connect with the athletes. You know, they've been using hashtag FanUpOz to send messages to the athletes, and we share them and also give something back to all of the fans at home in Australia.
Check it out, In the Pool with Ian Thorpe, optus.com.au/support network. Now, Thorpe, you started your Olympic campaign in India, but now you're in Rio. You are a lucky, lucky chap. How's it been tracking for you?
I haven't been here the whole time, so I would have loved to have been here the whole time, but I've been here for the last 4 days. And, you know, I can't complain. I've had the pleasure of being able to speak with some of the athletes. I've had some of the swimmers we're in today. Got a chance to catch up with them, which was nice. And then also some of our athletes from other sports as well. But it's nice to be able to share their story, because there is a story behind each of these athletes. There's, you know, a huge support network that they have at home that has been able to put this performance together and start to understand more than just what we see on the medal dice, but how they've been able to get here.
And I was in the gym yesterday at 11:32 local time in Australia, and the place literally stopped. Everybody wanted to see Usain Bolt run. What are your thoughts on this man that literally, literally stops the world when he hits the track? He's a freak.
Hell yeah, I have to laugh. I mean, that was a good excuse for everyone to stop in the gym, right? I would have done the same thing, though. And this is what is extraordinary about Usain Bolt is he's competing in the three most competitive races on the track. He's been dominant now over a period of almost 10 years at this being his 3 Olympic Games. Looks likely to be able to go on to win that the three-peat at the Olympics. I've never seen a track star like this. It's exciting to watch him race. It's exciting the way that he plays up to the crowd, but he has the results to be able to back him up. And also, there's part of him that's the showman, but also he has a great sense of humour, and he looks like he's having fun out there. So I enjoy watching Usain Bolt run like everyone else, and I would have stopped in the gym.
Thorpe, from the track to your great love, the pool. We discussed on the show last week that Australians can be very, very critical. If you get a silver medal, some people view it as a failure. I'm not exactly sure why. The swim team have come in for their fair share of controversy. I noticed one of your Olympic teammates yesterday, Liesl Jones, said we need more competition. We need more events racing against international athletes. Do you see it that way?
That would work for some athletes, and I actually can say that some athletes, I think, should be competing less. It's not that there's a one-size-fits-all model, and there's not that kind of solution in swimming. And I think we're on track. The most impressive thing, you know, about the swim team at this competition, we've all kind of commended their performance out of the pool. But I also, what impressed me, there was a level of maturity that the athletes weren't really making excuses. You know, when they didn't perform well, they were really upfront, and you could see they weren't happy and they were disappointed that they hadn't had the performance that they wanted. And, you know, in the past, we've kind of come to an excuse, or they've had an excuse for themselves. And this isn't what we saw at these Olympic Games. And everyone else was really quick to try and find an excuse for them, because we like this team. We've seen a real turnaround in the kind of team that this is. and it was a team that we wanted to get behind and support. So I think there's going to be a few things that they need to work on, and it will continue to progress. But we also had some great results, you know, gold medals and some of the other medals that were there as well. That, you know, those athletes are happy with those performances. But we have something to build on.
More with Ian Thorpe coming up on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman. Ian Thorpe is still on the line from Rio. Check out In The Pool with Ian Thorpe. You can see it at optus.com.au/supportnetwork or the hashtag FanUpOz. Ian, obviously the Olympic movement is something very, very close to your heart. We've seen in recent times new sports introduced. We're going to see the likes of surfing in Tokyo at the 2020 Games. Are the Olympics, in your opinion, maintaining their relevance in the modern sporting landscape?
Yeah, for me, the Olympics is about inclusion. So there's some sports that, you know, I'm slightly opposed to in being in the Olympics. But, you know, I've seen the ability that the Olympics has to be able to move people around the world. And I think if the sports that we look at including, if they have kind of high participation rates around the world, and that we can continue the, you know, the international reach of the Olympics, I think they should be considered. You know, some sports I don't completely understand the rationale, and I don't agree with every sport being included at the Games.
In some massive controversy before the Games, obviously with the Russian Federation being banned in many sports. How do you view the banning of total nations?
When it comes to the IOC's position with, you know, banning countries or looking at that right before the Games, it's a complicated issue. I always do believe that banning a nation should be a card that is on the table. It shouldn't be removed. And we had a unique set of circumstances, and I actually support WADA's position on this rather than the IOC's. But it was more complicated than what is just a simple ban. We have where countries have been excluded from the Olympics, and the Olympics is about trying to bring the world together. And we've also seen some, you know, kind of we've seen some boos around the world, and I think the way that the world's responding to this is we want to see a stronger response to doping violations. And athletes want to see harsher penalties, and we want to see them put into force. But the appropriate time to talk about it isn't when it's emotive, when we're at the Olympic Games. Let's be, you know, really pragmatic about this and practical and look at what we can do over the next 4 years to have a better Olympic Games in Tokyo and what we can do to make sure that any of these doping violations are punished accordingly.
It's an interesting one, Ian. I think we've had our hearts broken so many times. I know personally I was a massive, massive fan of Lance Armstrong, and when it came out that he'd been cheating the system so often and so regularly, it just breaks your heart in some ways.
Yeah, I understand that, and I understand people's frustration around this. And this is the risk in sport, is if we lose the ability to be able to inspire people from what they see at an Olympic Games or any of the international competitions, sport's finished. And we have to get this right. You know, we want kids to look up to athletes and aspire to be like them. And that is about clean sport. We also want those kids to be healthy.
A couple more before we let you go. Ian, haven't seen you since the Glasgow Commonwealth Games. What else are you up to? What's keeping you entertained?
Well, I'm going home. Look, I was broadcasting out of India. I was hosting the first week of the Olympic Games on All Sports, the Olympic broadcaster there, which was quite a challenge. And then happily coming over for this to do with Optus and also catch up with some friends at the Olympic Games. When I get home, I am going to have a week off, like a few of the other swimmers. And then there's a couple of projects that I have coming up towards the end of the year, which will, you know, have me back out there, and I'm sure people in Australia will see much more of me towards the end of the year.
And are you staying fit, big man?
I'm trying to. I struggle with it like everyone else. You know, I'm motivated to go to the gym, but I have a trainer who kind of whips me into shape, and I need that. I'm motivated enough to get myself there. But, you know, I kind of have the excuse, that I've done this most of my life, and you know, for me to sleep in one morning, it's not a big deal, which of course as you get older it becomes a bigger and bigger deal. So I've, you know, kind of done that, and I want to have enough fitness just to be able to be, you know, healthy and enjoy, you know, whatever activity it might be.
Make sure you check out Optus' six-part series In the Pool with Ian Thorpe. It launched yesterday. It's absolutely fantastic. The hashtag FanUpOz, and you can view In the Pool with Ian Thorpe at optus.com.au/support network. Ian, always wonderful to have a chat with you. Thanks for your time. We really appreciate it on the Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, 3 weeks ago I was in Jamaica on the way to the Bob Marley Museum. And I passed in the bus Tracks and Records, which is a bar owned by Usain Bolt.
Oh, wow.
We are now going to Tracks and Records to speak to Monique. Good evening to you in the West Indies, Monique. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm very, very, very well. We're so excited.
We're excited to be speaking to you. Take us into the bar sort of 14, 15 hours ago when Usain Bolt was running. And what's it mean for the Jamaican people when he steps out on track?
Oh my gosh, in here was pandemonium. First of all, in here was packed from about 5 p.m. Everybody came in, they wanted to secure their spot. And of course, being the home of Bolt, we had vuvuzelas, we had pom-poms, we had everything ready for them to cheer and make noise. It was crazy when he stepped out onto the track.
Is everyone in there again tonight? He's getting his gold medal in about 5 minutes.
Crazy. It is crazy in here already. It's pandemonium.
Monique, what does it mean to the people of Jamaica to see a man like him described as the greatest athlete of all time from a country that really, in a sporting sense, is only a reasonably small place?
It is it's indescribable. It's just so much pride, so much joy, so much to brag about, because Jamaicans, we love to brag. We love to beat our chest, as you can imagine, as you've seen him do so many times. And so now we have all these bragging rights, and we don't think anybody will be able to touch it for any time to come, you know? So we're just elated.
You're going to have those bragging rights forever.
For a long, long time, I'm sure.
And does
everybody
he
right now feels like they're Usain Bolt.
Does he spend much time in the bar itself? If I pop in occasionally, will I ever see him behind the bar, or will he come back to Tracks and Records to celebrate at some point?
He definitely will. You know, the last Olympics, his very first press conference in Jamaica was at Usain Bolt's Tracks and Records, and we anticipate that this time around the same thing will happen again. And generally throughout the year, once he's in the island, he does make his, he stops in from time to time.
Good on him.
Monique, we really appreciate your time. Just as we let you go, what's the specials on today? What do we need to keep an eye out for? Cheap beers tonight or some chicken jerk?
We have a lot of beer specials tonight. You know, Red Stripe, the great Jamaican beer company, is with us tonight and sponsoring. And so they're doing a lot of beer specials and giveaways and a lot of excitement.
Monique, we really, really appreciate your time. Have a wonderful evening there in Jamaica, and thanks for having a chat with us.
Yes, I'm so happy to have spoken to you as well.
Not as happy as us. Great legend. To speak to Monique in Jamaica. Those red stripes too, Fev, just quite. Had a couple of those over in Jamaica.
Would have been a couple.
Well, one and a half, and then that was about it for me. But speaking to the people there, they were so excited about the Olympics, and there's so much pride. There's two men in Jamaica. One's Chris Gayle, and the other one is Usain Bolt, and they are at a whole nother level of superstardom over there.
Oh, it was just amazing watching Usain Bolt run his 200, knowing that that could be the last time he does, you know, an event. He obviously runs in the 4x100 tonight,
an individual event,
and just to watch, I was getting tingly, and you watch him in his warm-up, and then they took it back. Channel 7 did a really good job, actually. They took it back from Beijing and then London, and how he's grown, and he's undefeated.
Yeah, no, he's undefeated. An absolute freak. We go from Jamaica and Usain Bolt to next Sydney and Greg Rust. Talking about from a high, from a low.
Rusty!
When did it come? He'll tell us what's happening in the world of motorsport on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. Fev, can you, just before we speak to the great Greg Rust, give us a quick update on the basketball?
We're gone.
Right, thanks very much for that. Now we're about 30 points down deep in the
I'm
final.
I'm so flat.
No, it's disappointing.
Look, we'll play Spain in the bronze medal, so hopefully we can... they'd be pretty disappointed, the boys.
Yeah, no, they'll be very, very flat. But I'll lift you up now because we're going to speak to the great man himself, Greg Rust. Hello, Thruster.
Howie, Fev, g'day.
Hey, great mate. To speak to you. Had a little chat with our good mate Jack Perkins yesterday to fill me in on exactly what was happening. He's obviously the endurance driver alongside James Courtney for HRT. Big news in the V8s with HRT not going to be supported by Holden any longer. It's a strange one.
It's a massive decision, Howie, but and understandably, there are a lot of very passionate fans of the red team that are upset about this, but we do need to have a little glass half full here, and let me explain. Firstly, during the week, Holden announced that iconic name, the Holden Racing Team, would shift to Roland Dane's crack 888 squad in Queensland, so they'll be known as the Red Bull Holden Racing Team from next year. A lot of fans are upset about that because they feel like it should remain with the Melbourne team that has had that name for 26 years. Roland's squad has a lot of good runs on the board at the moment, as you boys can appreciate. HRT, as we currently know them, are having a tough stretch. But Holden committed to stay in the sport for another 3 years at what is a very difficult time for the automotive industry, a significant time of change. And the fact that they are doing that, boys, I think has got to be applauded. Even though it's tough, I appreciate that. We've got to applaud the fact that they've stuck by the sport.
Now we move across to MotoGP, mate. And Jack Miller's been ruled out this weekend because of a back injury he sustained in Austria.
Spot on, mate. In warm-up, Fev, last weekend. So he's damaged the just a hairline fracture, from what we can understand, the T6 vertebra, and he's hurt his wrist as well. So he was, I mean, this is how tough this bloke is from Townsville. He wanted to ride, and they waited right until the very last minute there at the Brno circuit to see if they could get it over the line. He had all sorts of checks. After consultation with his management, with Honda and a few others, they've elected not to run him this weekend, so it's a shame. But we want him fit, boys, for Phillip Island in October.
And the best motorsport sledge of the week goes to our boy, mate, D. Ricciardo.
You will love this one, Fev, because I know you love the Mercedes guy. So during the week, Lewis Hamilton puts up a post and says...
I'm a Mercedes guy, mate.
And he says, hey, I know we're in a bit of a break for Formula One at the moment, but we're still training, we're still focused and working hard. So, and it was a photo of Lewis with his top off. You could see his tats, and it looked like he was working on some gym equipment of some kind. Now, Ricciardo's taken that post, retweeted it, and said, I'm calling BS on this one.
No, fair enough. Before we let you go, Giggles, if you're at the Olympics yourself, what would be your event?
Oh, as in a competitor or a spectator?
A competitor, Guru.
Oh, I would love to do the 100. I used to do...
Jeez, come on, give us a spell. Bloody Switzerland.
What were you going to say then? You used to what? I want to hear this.
No, in school athletics, I used to go all right in the 100.
School athletics in the under 10s, and he thinks he's going to take down Usain Bolt. Rusty, we appreciate your time as always.
Always a dreamer. See you
next. The Blem's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, and Brendan Viola Fevi. The TradingPost.com EJ Witten Legends match, Etihad Stadium, Friday, September 2, live on Channel 7 and Fox. You can get tickets at ticketmaster.com.au or on the afl.com.au. website. Now, we were given a list during the week that MJ, our great producer, rang and said, which of these 35 guys would you like to speak to? And one name stood out to me, and he's been kind enough to join us on the line now, former Bulldog star Danny Southern. G'day, Danny.
Morning, Mark. How are you, mate? G'day, Seth. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, mate.
I couldn't be more stoked to have you on because I remember your footy career, and everybody does, but then all I remember is rumours that you were floating around in Cairo, Egypt, etc. I don't know if any of this is true. What have you been doing in a minute since you stopped playing footy? And I'm sure that'll be hard to squeeze in, great man.
Yeah, it's been a great adventure, mate. Yeah, footy finished up prematurely when I was 25 and took off overseas, mate, to be a free spirit and led some tours for Intrepid Travel through the Middle East. I was based in Cairo, running tours through Libya, Jordan, Syria, Turkey. And after about 3.5 years on the road, mate, became the operations manager. So based in Cairo, managing sort of North Africa and the Middle East. Spent about 10 years in Egypt, got married, had birth of my first son in the middle of the Egyptian Revolution, which was a pretty interesting time. And since then, mate, been back in Australia for about 3 years now, working with the Clontarf Foundation. So I'm working with young Indigenous men, trying to engage them in school. And yeah, it's been a terrific journey, mate. It's been an amazing life and been pretty blessed and obviously great to be back in Australia and looking forward to having a run in a couple of weeks for the EJ Witten's game.
Holy moly, Danny, that's a fair summation. I need a couple of quick questions for you, though, sort of yes or no's. Palmyra has been blown up in Syria with what's happening with ISIS. Did you go to Palmyra?
Yeah, actually spent a heap of time in Syria. Magnificent country, just wonderful people. It's so sad to see what's happening out there. And
yeah,
obviously the antiquities of Palmyra are just one of my favourite sites in the world, to be honest with you. It's just very isolated, very remote, and just the history there is just staggering, and it's so sad to see what's happening in Syria. And yeah, I've got a lot of friends from Palmyra and around Syria, so you know, I haven't been in contact with them for a while, so hopefully everyone's safe and sound and staying away from ISIS, which is obviously a terrible threat to the to the world.
And Feb's rolling his eyes at me, but a couple more places on Howie's tours that I've been to that I just want to check off you went to. Did you get to Petra in Jordan?
Yeah, I sure did, yep. Now, I put a, probably 30, 40 times I would have been
30
to Petra.
30 or 40 times?
Just to rub a little bit of salt in the wounds for those who haven't been so fortunate. Just a, once again, amazing sight.
And finally, Danny, just one more venue I want to ask you about before Fev gets into a few more questions. People will be blown away that the pyramids, I expected them to be out in the middle of the desert, Danny, but
there's
much,
a McDonald's next door.
Well, you go past a used tyre shop, but it's extraordinary, isn't it?
There's a Pizza Hut next door.
Yeah, it's basically where it is in Giza. It's just right on the edge of the city. So it's desert on one side, and the city pretty much goes right up to it. I own an apartment which is about 500 metres as the crow flies from the pyramids. So we've got pyramid views from each of our rooms, and the Egyptians don't really respect it for its history. It's just a big pile of rocks on the outskirts of town. So it's quite amazing, mate. It's a wonderful experience being over in the Middle East for such a long period of time. And it's, you know, obviously my wife's Egyptian, and son was born over there, so it's like home for me.
Now, all this time over there, mate, walking like an Egyptian over there, you said you haven't played any footy. Have you played one game?
I haven't played, Fev. I reckon the last time I had a kick, mate, was about 2003.
Oh.
I played in the EJ Witten game back then, so it's been a long time between kicks, mate. I couldn't get a kick of the footy when I was playing, mate, so I'm not expecting to get
the I don't reckon you're there to kick the footy. Mate. I don't reckon you're there to kick the footy, mate. You're there for the party beforehand and the party after.
Oh, actually, I'm a bit of a teetotaler, mate. I'd like a good time, but yeah, I actually am a non-drinker and haven't had a drink since I was 15. So,
oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for the social aspect, though.
It'll still be fun. Don't you worry about that.
People. Oh, yeah, no, but it's a great night, so definitely looking forward to it. A
couple of more things I need to tick off with you. Have you still got the rude rat's tail, Danny, or did that disappear 15 years ago as well?
No, it disappeared about 7 or 8 years ago. The missus, she didn't like it, mate, at all. It was a little bit wild for her, and she's a little bit conservative, so she got her scissors to it, mate, and lopped it off. So I'm still shattered about it, but I had my son had a nice long rat tail there for a while, and once again she got the scissors to that as well. So disappointing, mate.
Where are you living now, Danny?
So I'm in Perth, based in Perth at the moment. So when we got back to Australia 3 years ago, I went and lived in Alice Springs in Tennant Creek for just over a year. And then, yeah, as I said, 2 years back in Perth where I grew up, which is nice to be back after about 21 years on the road and close to family, and obviously works great at the moment, so really enjoying life.
When you're up in the territory, mate, I played a bit of footy up there after I finished playing, and have you had anything to do with the Indigenous boys up there? Because, geez, there's some good footballers.
Yeah, there's some terrific talent, and particularly when I was in Tennant Creek, the young fellas there are just amazing, and some of the best junior footballers I've ever seen. So our program, we work with the young Indigenous men trying to engage them in school, and one of the major sort of, I guess, incentives or lures for the fellas is playing a lot of Aussie rules footy. So we have lots of games and carnivals and lots of camps. And, you know, I've seen some amazing talent coming through. And one of our young blokes from our academy, hopefully might go one or two this year, Sam Povetsky-Seaton. So we've produced a lot of good footballers, but we don't have a professional football program at all. It's more about engagement in school and education. But we have some talent around, that's for sure.
Danny, it has been wonderful having a chat with you. Far too short. I'm not sure your schedule. I'm going to ask you off the top. I'm not sure your schedule, but when you get over here to Melbourne, if you've got any time on a Saturday morning, we would love you to come in and have a further chat with us. You've fascinated me. You've given me a little tempt and a little taste of a party of life, mate. It's been great having a chat with you. Can't wait to see you in the Legends game. You've lived quite a life. I'd love to hear more about it.
No worries, mate. Sounds great, mate. Sign me up. It'd be terrific. But really looking forward to the game, and thanks for having me on. Hopefully we get a lot of supporters out there. It's for a great cause.
That's it. EJ Witten Legends game, Friday, September 2, live on Channel 7 and Fox.
I'll be commentating.
Well, you'll be commentating. Well, there's a lot to look forward to there.
That was good. Good chat.
Has an apartment overlooking the pyramids.
As you do.
As you do.
As you do.
Matty White to join us next to tell us about a listening device, a bug that has been found in the All Blacks hotel room. Bledisloe Low Cup tonight. Wow, story and a half. Thanks to Danny Southern, Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard, Brendan Fowler. The women's 4x100 has been run and won. The Americans have beaten the Jamaicans. An extraordinary story there, even there, Fev.
Unbelievable, Howie. They in their heat, the Americans in the, I think it was a semi-final, dropped the baton after the Brazilians infringed in their lane. They appealed and they got to run, first time ever in Olympic history, by themselves in the relay, qualified fastest, and they've just taken out the gold. Beat the Jamaicans, so hopefully that's not a sign for our upcoming men's 4x100.
Which will be on at about 11:35. We'll bring you live on Network 10. But before all that, a massive story.
Network 10.
Well, Network 10 has got the Bledisloe Cup tonight starts, so keep an eye out for it. The man up front, the second best host on Network 10 himself, Matty White, will be up front there, the second best host. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Whitey.
Geez, you're good. You're good at talking yourself up, Howie, aren't you?
No, no, I was talking about Brad McEwen as the number one host. Now, listen, massive story developing, being investigated and reported in the New Zealand Herald. Bring us up to date, Matty. This is a CIA-style get smart story.
This is Bond.
Mate, this is a beauty, isn't it? No, I'll just alert your listeners. I was out at team sport, school sport this morning with my young one, and you alerted me to it, Howie. This is a big story ahead of tonight's one, that the All Blacks are claiming that their hotel room here in Sydney has been bugged. Not just claiming it, it's actually been, you know, already proven that they found a listening device that had been chopped into a chair in their meeting room. Right, so somebody's gone in, on style, sliced into the chair, into the fabric of the chair, and put a listening device in there that was active. They'd swept the room and managed to find this bug, and then alerted both, well, they alerted the hotel first, they alerted the police, who have also passed it on to the federal police and the Australian Rugby Union as well. So it's actually pretty full on, this one. I mean, obviously Bill Pulver, the head of the AAU, has come out and said, look, it's ludicrous to suggest that the Wallabies had anything to do with it, have had anything to do with it, and absolutely you would take them on face value in that one. But it's a real story. It's not a made-up thing on game day that somebody put, you know, something in the food that the All Blacks are eating. This is a real, security breach. Now, and I think, boys, what worries me, Howie, is that the All Blacks had obviously had suspicions because they asked the room to be swept.
The fact that they had the room swept. So it was.
Is that a common practice, Howie? Do they do that normally before games? Do they just go, right, let's get the room, we're in an international country?
I wouldn't have thought
Well, mate, Fev, I'll tell you what happened. At the Rugby World Cup, there were suspicions. They had suspicions that there were some listening devices or somebody was bugging their room. But I think they didn't have the availability to get their room swept at that time. So from what I've read this morning, and obviously this is all, you know, happening as we speak, is that they've had the ability to do that in Sydney. I don't know how, but, it's a real thing that they've managed to uncover. I don't know when they actually uncovered it, because Bill Pulver has said the one thing that, pardon the pun, the one thing that bugs him is that they've released this on game day.
Yeah, but I think they discovered it on Monday.
Okay.
So it's been nearly a week.
That was a really poor pun too, Matty, that I've been bugging. The Intercontinental in Double Bay is the hotel. If you think about going up in Sydney for the weekend,
it's a great hotel,
and you want to keep things a bit low-key, I'm not sure that's your place. Now, Matty, from what you're saying, it was in a meeting room. So the allegation would be that the game plan, the strategy, the tactics would all have been recorded on the aforementioned bug.
Correct. And you know, the biggest question is, who benefits from that? You know, who benefits from getting that information? Everyone.
Are you alluding to betting companies?
That's where I'm going, mate. I mean, you know, that's the only thing you could think of, wouldn't it? I mean, who else is going to benefit from that? There's no way in the world the Australian Rugby Union would have any part in that. So count that one out.
What about tonight when you open up the broadcast on Channel 10 and sort of give us a big expose on how you think the All Blacks are going to play? Maybe the Channel 10 IT department's been freelancing, Whitey.
I know, mate. You should have seen me in my black get-up as I was trying to, you know, get into the hotel room there. But that's meant to be a secure hotel room.
It's a great
one room that nobody's allowed into. They often have security outside that, and that's the room where they sit down, go through their game plan, go through everything. So somebody's worked it out that they need to be in there. However they're going to benefit from it, you know, I don't know. But if you're going to point the finger in the grubby world of betting, probably that's where you go.
And what does that mean for rugby? If a betting company is going to this extreme, geez, it doesn't look good.
You know, it doesn't. And I think Burkey made the comment, Matty Burke, you know, our commentator made the comment that, you know, it's a slight on a game that we thought was, you know, was pure. Obviously, something's going on, you know, in an undercurrent sort of situation here, and it's big stakes. I mean, you know, we all know how much money goes around in the betting world. I don't think any betting company would be part of it, but, you know, somebody's gone to extraordinary lengths here to break the law, to shove a device into a chair in a hotel room to get information on a game plan for one test match tonight. And there has to be an outcome somewhere down the line.
Matty, no doubt you'll have more details tonight on Network 10's free and exclusive coverage of the All Blacks versus Wallabies game. Thanks for filling us in, great man. Real James Bond stuff from you.
Thanks, boys. Catch you.
Matty White. The Glems, Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. It'd be fair to say, Fev, the modern pentathlon was best known in these Olympics for being Kitty Chiller's event, as she's told us 37 times throughout.
Did
Olympic
she?
Games.
Who's Kitty Chiller?
Well, if you don't know, has she got some airplay?
Isn't she a pest?
She's been on more than Usain Bolt. Anyway, we now have an Olympic gold medalist in the modern pentathlon, which of course, Brendan, is the fencing, the 200-metre swim, the show jump, the combined pistol shooting with the 3,200-metre cross-country run.
That's incredible.
Her name is Chloe Esposito. This was her moments ago on Channel 7.
Chloe Esposito started with number 7, 45 seconds down, in the gold medal position for now. Surely she can't be beaten from here. Australian crowd up on their feet. They know what they've been through. Here it is, the final metres. Chloe Esposito, one of the best comebacks we've seen in modern pentathlon. The gold medal to Australia. Chloe Esposito from 7th to 1st in the final event of the modern pentathlon. The combined running shooting, what an extraordinary comeback from the Australian.
Indeed, 7th to 1st, well done by the 24-year-old. We cross now to Rio, to our man on the ground who's got one job, and that's to get us, Chloe. James Lake, good evening to you, James. How are you?
I'm very well, guys. Good evening to you. I'm doing my best to find Chloe. I've been promised that she's not too far away, and I will get her for you before the end of the show.
Well, I hope so, mate, because the Olympics is not about doing your best. The Olympics is about getting the job done. Firstly, tell us about the event itself. A bit of surprise victory in some way. She came from a long way back in that last event.
I think Chloe will be happy with this victory and the fact that it just puts it on the map. A lot of people, you know, before the games and even a few days ago, and even the journalists here were asking, so Chloe, what are you actually doing in the end? What is this modern pentathlon thing? So she had to do some fencing yesterday. Then today she had to swim. She had a bonus fencing round. Then she had to do some show jumping. And then a final event, which was a run and a shooting session. The final one is a grab from the grab we heard just before. She went into that sitting in 7th position overall. She had to shoot 5 targets, then swim 800, oh, sorry, run 800 metres, then shoot again, then run, then shoot again, then run. 4 times over, and she only missed 1 target. Mm. So that's what got her all the way in the front in that last round.
That's scary. Hey, Lakey, I was actually watching this race, and she gave herself a 45-second handicap. What's that mean?
I wish I could give you an answer, mate. I'm just
getting
my
own. How do you give yourself a handicap? I'd be given a bit longer than that.
Might have been some penalty. There's all sorts of penalties in the modern pentathlon. Jared Talent, he won a gold medal in some ways about 2 months ago. A silver, he struggled over the closing stages of the race of a wonderful performance.
Oh, it was amazing that he got there. Look, and he was leading for such a good part of the race, and he just couldn't hold on until the finish line. He told us a little while ago that he's definitely coming back for Tokyo, though he's not satisfied with that silver, and he does want to get the gold, and he wants to win it outright.
Now, we had high hopes in the BMX, mate, and the two Australians made the final. I think one of them won 3 of his first, the heats, and then, you know, they both failed in the final, and our young girl failed in the semis, crashing.
Yeah, I've tried all week not to say that, you know, the athletes are disappointing, but we had a lot of hope that these BMX riders could deliver today. Both Caroline Buchanan and Sam Willoughby were hot favourites. Sam obviously brought home a silver in London as well, and Caroline would have won the gold if she hadn't just had a slow start at the start of her race back in London. Today, she crashed out in the semi-finals and didn't even get to the women's final, while our other female competitor, Lauren Reynolds, also was just a bit too slow, so just missed the cut. But our two boys are the biggest letdown. Sadly, they were first and second. Sam Willoughby, like you said, won every single heat today. And then in the final, for some reason, we can't explain why, he just got squeezed out of the pack and finished sixth. And Anthony Dean, he crashed altogether and got across the line last.
And what's all the Australian media? Are they watching the Boomers at the moment? In a bit of strife, the Boomers?
I think there are a few people there. Look, the guys just aren't getting it done, are they? I can't explain it.
They're currently trailing 48-25. James, before we let you go, you're very professional and you've come on here and delivered us the news, as is your role, in a very measured, controlled style. Now tell me, what's your experience been like in Rio? Have you been out and had a couple of beers? Have you been out for dinner? Have you met any interesting people? Give me a little bit of colour and flavour.
Do you want? I don't know how much I can really tell you, but I've kept it professional most of the time. I might have had a few beers. The local beverage, Skol, I'll give it a plug. It's actually pretty tasty. I've met some magicians on streets that made my money disappear. They weren't mugging me, they swore.
I was going to say, if you get in trouble, Lakey, just blame it on the muggers.
I could blame it on the muggers. That's what everybody else is doing. I haven't been held up or experienced that, but I think that Rio and I just need a bit of time apart once the games are over, and I'll give it a chance. Might come back and visit one day.
Good on you, Jim Bob. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
James Late bringing us all the latest, reasonably, as most news guys are, reasonably straight cat, but delivered what we needed to know.
He gave us what we needed to know. What about all the guys blaming, saying they got held?
Ryan Lochte.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know, but when I was in Ireland, that barman, he mugged me. That's why I got him in a headlock. He mugged me. Brownlow medal, I got mugged.
Yeah, sure you did.
Mate, Allenby started a trend. Yeah, he started it.
And he's done it again.
He's done it again. Yeah, they're all just going, let's just do what Robert Allenby done and just blame everyone else.
Do an Allenby.
CCTV, guys.
Blim, Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. The phones have been working furiously in here. We're about to discuss Dane Swan and some big rumours floating around the world of AFL. But the Dead Set Legends want you to show your pride by wearing your AFL club gear to a match. Wear it and share it on Instagram with the hashtag TrueColours, that's TrueColours, and Triple M for your chance to win tickets to the first final in Melbourne, whenever that may be. Plus, you'll be presented on field as a member of the AFL's All-Australian Fan Team. Head to afl.com.au for more details. We will also be speaking to Matty White shortly about an extraordinary story where a listening device has been discovered in the All Blacks hotel room, and we hope to go to the men's 4x100 relay. But before all that, Fev, Dane Swan. I've been getting messages all week that there's a big story developing with Dane. You're good mates with him. You were at a function yesterday for
the Williamstown Football Club, the Seagulls down there. And
right, yeah, you're sitting next to him?
Yeah, Harold's son and Matty Campbell, the
what
MC,
happened down there?
He asked a few questions and he said, just wait 9 days and, I'll give an indication of where I'm going. And he said he hasn't really paid too much attention to footy this year, but he did go to the game last weekend because of Dusty's 150th, Richmond Collingwood. And he said it was the first time this year that he's actually missed it because he was actually there. So, but all the rumours and the talk around town, and coming from a good source, he's going to retire early next week and he won't play another game of AFL footy. So that's what's going around, Howie.
Right.
And I think that he'll have a press conference next week.
And Tuesday, possibly?
Maybe. And he'll announce that he can no longer go on because of his foot, obviously.
Yep.
And that he'll just sail off into the sunset and he'll have a good life, I reckon.
No doubt about it. From what I've been told, he's been relatively open about it. He may have discussed that next year he'd like to do things like go to the Coachella Music Festival and spend time overseas. So from what you're telling me and from what I'm reading between the lines, 100% Dane Swan won't be playing AFL footy next
year. I think,
year.
Yeah, 100% that he won't play footy and he will probably go overseas. He loves getting over there and we all know that. He talks about it on the footy show and I think he goes overseas when we have the mid-season break. So he'll head over there. He wants to have a European summer.
Hasn't been watching much footy.
Hasn't watched much footy, but I think his foot's just... I actually saw his foot yesterday. It's got a big scar on it. So
saw his foot, obviously you saw him as well.
Yeah, I was with him.
Okay.
You just said I was with him at the footy club.
Okay.
And he's had a great career. And if he does do that next week, you can say he's won a Brownlow medal, been very successful, a premiership player. You've been a great servant of the Collingwood Footy Club. But, sad news for Pies fans if that is to be true next week.
Yeah, it is. And I'm sure you need to be listening to Triple M's Hot Breakfast because due to the fact that Collingwood president is the host of that show.
I reckon maybe Wednesday morning there might be a bit of action going on.
Yeah, if you're ever going to hear him, I think that's where you're going to hear him. Doc Watt and I sit on the boundary and we run a competition between ourselves called the UFL, the Unlikely Football League. And we throw footballs in it that we think physically or for whatever reason, you would never figure they would play AFL. Max Gawn this year has been the star ruckman in the UFL. You watch Dane Swine, you see
UFL.
The Unlikely Football League. That's
I
what
played
we
with
call
Maxie
it.
Gawn down at Casey.
Well, he was
he used
a
to rock up
one.
With a dart in his mouth.
Dane Swine was vice captain for 3 straight years because when you see him on your telly, Stevie J, another player in the UFL, you think, well, he's slow, he doesn't move that well. When you see him at the ground, he's incredibly fast, Dane Swine. I think, unless you watch footy live, there's things about him you don't realise.
Yeah, he's very quick and he spoke really well yesterday, actually, at the function. He was saying about all the Collingwood young blokes. They've obviously had a bad year. But he said, you know, when Pengles is in the middle and I'm in the middle, because I've played with him for so long, I know where he's going to turn. I know where he is. So I'm going to be on the end of that footy. And he knows where I'm going. And he's talked about Travis Cloak, how he's got to play with these new midfielders. And they don't know his leading patterns. But if Swanee and Pengles are both there, they know how he leads. And he spoke really well about it. But he never got anyone on him. It's like he smells. Like, he gets 40 every week. Man him up. It's like Sam Mitchell. Doesn't look like a footballer.
A star. Maybe next week I'll bring you the starting 18 for the last 5 years for the UFL. The
Sam Mitchell in there?
League. No, because he looks like a footballer. But
does
like
he?
Stevie J runs together with knock knees.
I would never have been in there. Oh, geez, I was a good specimen.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman. It's been a massive show. This is some of it. Well, you're telling me there's a bit of a funk in the studio. A bit of a smell, brother. What's happening?
I don't know. Wife hasn't had a shower for a while, but I don't know. Something stinks.
Not as stinking up
as much as the Boomers, mate.
You were so excited about this game. You've been texting me all week.
I even come here early.
You did, which is a...
I didn't want to miss anything.
First time. So that's what we need to do. Put a game of basketball on.
I was in here before 8. Just wanted to watch the start. And now I'm flat as a bloody...
Yeah.
You know what Carter's hat.
Ian Thorpe, one of Australia's greatest Olympians.
Hey, how are you, man?
Ian, I was in the gym yesterday at 11:32 local time in Australia, and the place literally stopped. Everybody wanted to see Usain Bolt run.
Howie, I have to laugh. I mean, that was a good excuse for everyone to stop in the gym. I would have done the same thing, though.
Next, I may tell a lie now, I may not. We'll be speaking exclusively to Usain Bolt. Okay, so I'm telling a lie. 3 weeks ago, I was in Jamaica and I passed Tracks and Records, which is a bar owned by Usain Bolt.
Oh, wow.
We are now going to Tracks and Records to speak to Monique.
Is Craig in here already?
Monique, what does it mean to the people of Jamaica to see a man like him described as the greatest athlete of all time?
It's just so much pride, so much joy, so much to brag about because Jamaicans, we love to brag.
Is there one thing you miss being home about the jungle?
All the weight I've put on. I've put on a lot of weight, Harry. I just need to go back in there for a couple of weeks.
I didn't want to say anything, chubby, but every week you come in here, you look like you put about 3 on.
Well, what do I do?
Stop eating,
I
mate.
I can't. Look, I just want Hunky Dory. There's a pizza place there.
There's your problem. Hunky Dory pizza. We might need a few lettuce leaves to you. Fev, a gold this morning for Australia in the modern pentathlon. Chloe Esposito.
Hello.
You come in to the pistol shooting / 3,200-metre cross country, the last leg in 7th position. What happens then?
I was started 7th, which was 45 seconds behind first place. And then so you run into the shooting range and you have to get 5 shots in the black circle. And once you get the 5 shots, you can run 800 metres. And you do that 4 times altogether. Whoever crosses the line first wins.
You didn't miss. You'd be good on a Jason Bourne movie.
I watched the 200-metre final yesterday in a gym. So on the screen, they don't have the audio. So you know when they had the teleprompter?
Yeah.
The lady? You should have seen her trying to keep up with the 200. She basically just said, away, ... Bolt wins! It's been a massive show, and Bolt has now gone 9 from 9 in the Olympics. All right. Quickly, before the Saturday rub, Dead Set Legend and Dead Set Donkey of the Week, Fev.
Donkey, Ryan Lochte.
Who?
Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, sort of claimed he was robbed.
Yeah, you weren't mugged, mate.
No, he wasn't mugged. Dead Set Legend of the Week, I'm going to put you and me up for the fact we've had
you
on.
You can't!
Well, Esposito, the gold medalist. We've had Usain Bolt running. We've had Danny Southern on. We've had your exclusive on Dane Swan's going to retire. I go on, but I think Usain Bolt might have nailed it.
I think he might have got us a little bit.
We had him at 8, but I think he might have got us at 9.
I think we, Usain, what a freak.
Yeah, it's been a great show, Fev. Thanks for coming in, having a chat with us as always.
Weekend.
The boys on the Saturday rub next. Usain Bolt, 9 Olympic stars. start 9 Olympic goals. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll be back next week. Peace and love.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the king size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.